Welcome back to Gym Rat J, the podcast. This episode, we bring in Joseph Jenkins. He's a collegiate athlete and a former teammate of mine, so it was really good to catch up with him. We've known each other for at least 3 or 4 years, so it was pretty good to catch up with him. He goes through his journey, how he started playing basketball, his story, the trials of being a junior college athlete. He talks through everything, honestly. It's mainly him, so I hope you guys enjoy. Now, guys, my dog did interrupt our discussion, so you may hear a bark or two or a growl, so I apologize for that, but just look past it. It's just a really good episode. So without any further ado, let's get to the episode. That was a little loud. Bro, it's been too long, my guy.
I know, right? It's been a minute, almost 3 years now.
That's too long. We gotta catch up, do a couple workouts. I'll dunk on you again.
That shit was funny, huh? Yeah, I was standing on the side, right?
What?
I did not jump. Now I was on the side, right?
I dunked on you. Bro, I'm never okay. That was probably like one of my most proud moments. Okay?
Yeah.
Like you're twice the athlete I'll ever be. And when I dunked on you, like quotations dunked on you, I was like, yeah, bro,
this is it.
This is my peak.
It's just sad nobody was recording. I think Scotty was. I don't know if he has a video.
Bro, I might text Scotty because I low key want that video. If he has it.
I think he was recording that day. Yeah, he was.
I think so because I remember we watched it and then you pointed out that you actually were on the site. Nah, it's okay. We don't have to watch
it. It's okay. I was close to the rim, so that pretty much counts as a dunk. I'll give it to you.
I got dunked on. No, dude, it's funny because honestly, like I said, you're twice the athlete I'll ever be. You're like a Clydesdale, dude. Like I'm assuming you've gotten stronger. I've seen your like Instagram and stuff. You've gotten big.
Yep.
You've gotten bigger. What? So okay. Let's rewind for a second. And all that I've known you, I don't really know your story.
My story for basketball?
Just in general, bro. Like tell me about you. Like where'd you grow up? And I know South Africa, right?
Yeah, southern part of Africa in Zambia.
Okay. Yeah. Just talk to me a little about like how you kind of ended up in Treasure Valley, I guess.
All right. So growing up, I played soccer, I played rugby, I played volleyball. That was my sports that I played back when I was in Africa. Because soccer is just like a major sport they play there. Like they do basketball and football here. In Africa, they got soccer. It's like the number one sport they play over there. And I wanted to play basketball, but it was just like the distance from my house to where the basketball courts and everybody played at were far. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to just stick to my soccer and volleyball and everything. Then I tried rugby. I played for a little bit. And then the team that I was playing for, they did not really have the resources and everything. So they shut down. And playing soccer, you don't really have to be bigger again. So I had to cut off some muscles and just become skinny because I was a goalie. You got to be flexible and you got to be so athletic to be able to get from one corner to the other and stuff like that.
Right.
And then, so my parents were originally from Congo, but they migrated to Zambia because of the war, the civil war that was going on in Congo like a long time ago. So when they came to Zambia, they applied for resettlement. It's like a refugee program they have. They resettle you to other countries.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then, they send them to America.
That was like, they had to wait for a cool minute. So pretty much they waited like 21 years for them just to get an answer.
Really?
Yeah. That's how long it took for them to get an answer for us to come. So if they got an answer before like that, I wasn't going to be born in Africa. But right. I was born because they were waiting, and I came along so did my other little siblings and stuff like that. And we came to the United States in 2015, October 20th. We got here, everything was pretty much kind of new, especially the weather. I mean, the people.
A little cold?
Yeah, dude. So we were told it gets cold out here, but we did not know saying it was snow cold. Like, freezing cold, you know?
Oh, like, bro, it's so funny.
So when we came, we had that biggest storm that they had over for a minute. Yeah, we came during that storm. So it was just like the worst storm ever. It was just like the worst experience.
Wait, what? So what year did you guys come? Like, what year was that storm?
The storm was in 2016, I think. Yeah.
2016, we came in
Yeah. We came almost at the end of 2015. It was like October 20th. It was almost the end. So when he came 2016, that storm was just the worst storm ever.
Bro, of course you guys come that winter. Like, of course.
I'm saying, dude, I was like, so I asked him, like, didn't you guys just, like, think about bringing us some time, another time, not in the winter, because it's, like, cold out here. And then the sleeping schedule was weird because when it's daytime over here in Africa, it's night. So we would sleep during the day and stay up during the night. So people that came to visit will come and we'll be passed out. Like, we'll be gone. It was just like...
Probably a couple weeks to adjust to that, right?
It took like 3 weeks just for us to get the normal schedule, sleeping schedule over here.
Shoot.
It's like, damn. So it was just like not something you want to get used to. But other than that, the weather was just a difficult part. And then people, because in Zambia, they have a mixed races. Like, there's a lot of different races over there. So we were just used to being white people, Mexicans, Arabs, Islamic people, Black, Natives, and stuff like that. Because we grew up around. And then when we came here, it was like Twin Falls did not really have Black people. Mm-hmm. It was just only a little bit of Black people. The most Black people you find was the basketball players at CSI.
Those were pretty much. And they're all not from Twin Falls. They're from everywhere.
No, they're from other places. You ask this one, it's like, oh, I'm from Nigeria. This one, oh, I'm from Texas. I was like, damn, nobody's Idaho. All of you are out of state. And after that, it started evolving. Then in 2017, I was going to the gym at CSI to work out because I worked out there every single time. Then there was like one time I was like, well, let me try this basketball thing. So I was wearing jeans and Vans because I went to left. Then I grabbed the basketball, I started shooting. Then the dude, you know, Andrew, the dude who played. Yeah, he's the dude that introduced me to basketball and started working out with me with basketball. It was Andrew.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
He was the first person I met and talked to, and after that we became friends. Him and his friend Justin.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's a little vague for me right now, but yeah.
Yeah, he's short. He wore like a brace, I think. But if it wasn't his left knee, he lives all the way in Soda Springs.
I do know Justin. Know Justin. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yep, him. He's him and Andrew, the people that studied my foundational basketball. And they even introduced me to this guy called, his name's Nuru. He played for CSI like a long time ago. So he studied my foundation of basketball and then started doing drills. I went to play basketball in Vans and jeans all the time.
You're out here just, you know, getting cute with the girls and you just get on the court, do a couple dunks.
Right? No. I couldn't dunk yet, but I could jump. That was the thing. So when I went to CSI, every time I went in jeans and then Vans. So Converse, actually. It was Converse every time. Then Andrew was like, you know, you need shorts to play basketball and stuff like that. So I started going with shorts and still was wearing Converse. And one of the CSI players, his name was Diami. He came to me. He was like, what size shoe do you wear? I was like, by then I was like 12, 13.
Yeah.
And then he was like, okay. So he left. And then later that same day, he came back with two pairs of basketball shoes.
Whoa.
Then he gave them to me. He was like, you cannot play in Converse. You can play in these. Yes. I was like,
bro, did your feet blister when you're playing in Converse?
No, really, because they were pretty much comfy. It's like playing street soccer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Shoes. Yeah.
I guess so. That's right.
I'm like, okay. So I started wearing the shoes, and then I would go to CSI like every day. And then it's like when I get there, they would be like, oh, they'll run pickup, so they'll run fives.
Yeah.
And I'll go there. They'll pick me, a team will pick me to be on their team. And then it's like, I did not know what to do. No. So I go jump and get the ball. That's pretty much what I could do. But then I couldn't make layups. I didn't know what to do. And then people start picking me on the team. So every time I went to the gym, it's just like this big old dude that doesn't know what to do.
Right. You're a wall.
Mm-hmm. So I just started watching videos on YouTube. And then I just started doing what they were doing on YouTube, dribbling the ball. I started working on dribbling and stuff like that. Then Andrew introduced me to Nuru. And then Nuru started working out basketball fundamentals with me and stuff like that. That's when I had to learn how to do move with the ball and without the ball move. Because I was just like getting caught on so fast because of soccer. Because soccer you do some drills that basketball does. And that's how I started playing. And then I started going back to CSI again. I would spend like a cool 8 hours a day over at the gym.
Bro, you might as well just slept there.
Right, I'm like, I gotta make sure these guys that do not like picking me on the team want me to be on their team. That's what I was thinking about. So I started practicing every day, until I got to a point where in 2018, that's when I got to a point where everybody wanted me to be on the team now because I could rebound and finish up the bucket and stuff like that, but I still was a little bit scared because I was so nervous about it. And then Andrew was like, let's see if we could get you to play at a college level. I was like, all right. We went to CSI first. I played with those guys there first. And then I was nervous. I knew what to do, but I was nervous because it's like, damn, this guy is bigger than me. Most of them are faster. I was like, all right. And
they've had 20 years to work out, right?
Right. I've only had like what, a year? It's like maybe a couple months or so. And then the coach was like, oh, I'm really looking for people that know what they're doing. He pretty much said I sucked without even telling me I sucked. So I was like, all right, I get that. Then he was just like, keep on working and then see if you can get it. I was like, all right. So I told Andrew what happened. He was like, well, we'll try somewhere else. Then he sent out emails on behalf of me to all the junior colleges in the Treasure Valley.
Oh.
And then we got one email back from Walla Walla. And then we was going to go there, but his girl was pregnant. And the day we was supposed to leave, his girl went in, she was giving birth. So we ended up not going there. And then Zimmerman reached out.
Ryan called you.
Uh-huh. Then okay. He was like, well, I would want you to come try out and stuff like that. Then he asked for my height and weight and stuff like that. Then it was like, huh. That's when I met you guys at NMU.
I remember. I remember. Bro, I was like, this guy's bigger than life. Like, I mean, you know, like, did you know Jarek? Did you ever meet Jarek?
Jarek.
He was the year before you, but I mean, he was about 6'10", you know, he's from Mountain Home, but you're just this, God, you're built like Arnold Schwarzenegger, bro. Just chiseled out of nothing else, man. Anyway, but like, bro, when I looked at you, I was like, bro, I hope I'm not guarding him, but I know I am. I know I'm guarding this guy. Like, he's gonna beat me up so bad.
I was like, damn. So when I got there, it's like, I was like, I knew what to do, but it's just like that fear, the nervousness in me was like taking control. Every time I get the ball, I was just overthinking, and then I'll be like, damn. But then Zimmerman was like, you do know what you're doing, and then I would like you to be on my team. Then I was like, oh, damn. Even though I was young, he still wanted me to be on the team. That's how I came to Treasure Valley. And then when I got there, unfortunately, Zim left. Zim retired. Mm. And then he handed me over to Joseph State. And that dude did not know what to do. So I was like, oh, my Lord.
I'm not gonna comment.
Bro, that dude was.
But you're right. You're right. I'm not gonna comment, but you're right.
I was like, bro.
Well, you redshirted. You redshirted,
I redshirted because I went, I called Andrew. I was like, bro, so the dude that brought me here, he retired and he handed me over to this dude. He's not looking promising, dude. So what do I do? He's like, we don't want to waste anything. So just go up to them and tell them you want to redshirt. I was like, okay. So I even talked to Nuru. Nuru told me the same thing. He's just like, go and redshirt and then see what you could do next year. I was like, okay. That's when I went to Joseph Steak. I was like, I want to rush you. He was like, okay. I was like, all right, thanks. So I thought it was going to be a big deal, right? I was like, all right. Then I told Jaden Vaughn, I was like, yeah, I'm a rush you. He was like, why? I was like, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know what Joseph has planned for me. So I'm going to just rush it and see what's going to happen next year. And then he was like, yo, you should have just played because we need size and stuff like that. I was like, no, you guys are good. I'm like, I'm not even good. I don't even know.
Bro, hold on. I'm gonna pause you right there because I'm in this timeline right now. Bro, we could have definitely used you. I was playing the five, dude.
Because I thought House was gonna be there. Like House, you know, because I got there, I looked at House, I was like, damn, I'm about to get my shoes out here. I saw House, I was like, damn, I was like, he's pretty good. Then I saw Kaleo. I was like, damn, this boy is bouncy. I'm like, damn.
He lives under a trampoline,
Kaleo. Yep. I know, right? But after some time, so then House was out here not playing. So for some reason, then Carson came. He was like, dude, you should have just played no redshirt. I was like, I did not know all of this was not going to happen. But the problem, the main thing at redshirt is like, I'm still new at basketball. I only have like a couple months experience. This is going to be like a year now. So I don't know what it's better he plays than me because I don't know shit. Then the year after when you guys left, I was about to leave too. I was about to come back and just take classes at CSI. Then Andy, the new athletic director who took over, and then he became the new coach. You remember Coach Young, right? Jeff Young?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
He found me working out because I used to work out with Nico. We do some drills and stuff like that. So that day I was alone, just like crossing over chairs and stuff like that, doing drills with chairs. And then he comes out, he's like, you're on the team, right? I was like, no, I ain't. She's like, so what are you planning to do next year? I was like, oh, I'm leaving by the end of this term. I'm out. I'm going back. Then he was like, why? I was like, well, there's nothing for me here. There's nothing for me here. Then he left. I kept on doing what I was doing. And then the following day, I came back. And then he sent a text to everybody that I was like, oh, I need to see all the old the basketball players and everything, like including the red shirts. I was like, all right. So I showed up, and then he started talking and stuff like that. Then he told me to go to his office. I went to his office, and he was like, I want you to stay. I want you to be on my team. I was like, I don't know. There's just like a lot of things that it's like, I'll help you develop the game, and then just to help you out, I'm going to give you a scholarship. I was like, oh. It's like, well, things are already working out. So I stayed. But he did not play me like that much because he said I fouled a lot. That's the problem. Most of the games I fouled out. Because you know, I was trying to grab everything, right?
Too strong, bro. Too strong. That's their problem, not yours.
We played the first year. It's like my minutes were like spread out mostly, but the most minute I'll play was like probably 9. And I made those minutes count. Like every time he puts me in there, in 9 minutes, I was able to grab like 14 rebounds. I had like 10.
How many?
14.
1-4?
Yeah, 1-4.
1-4, 14.
Yeah.
14. 4 plus 10.
Yeah.
Bro.
I usually it was just like, mostly would be like 9 were defensive rebounds and the rest were like offensive rebounds. That's how I got my points off the offensive rebounds.
Right, put it back up.
And then I got my 14 rebounds and I got my 9 minutes in. I got my 10 points, my 8 points most of the time. Sometimes I get, I go home with 11. I get a couple blocks. I go sit down just like that every time. Because we had Kaleo, and then there was another dude, Austin White. He came from Alaska. He was like 6'8". So he was big. He was taller than me, but I was bigger than him. And right. I was the most athletic out of everybody. But he played me less, and he played him more. But I complained most of the time because when I went in there, I averaged more rebounds than all of them, even the 6'8" dude. But he played more minutes than me. He played like almost 30 minutes. And then I was like, well, then they had DJ most of the time he played too. And then DJ almost played like the whole game. Then Devon also played like almost the whole game or stuff like that. But me, I played like 9 minutes. Most minutes I played was like 20. That was the most minute I played in that game. And I had that game, I had 15 rebounds. I had 11 points. I had like 3 blocks, I think, in that game. We won that game, too. I did not foul out, too. I did not foul out.
who do you remember who you played on that one?
Yeah, we played. You know, I fouled out. We played Wenatchee after the half.
Now I actually fell out. Like, oh, that's like I fell out, bro.
It was a shitty foul, though, because I literally, so you know that best player, what's his name? Malik?
From Wenatchee?
Yeah, from Wenatchee. They had this kid named Malik.
I barely remember Wenatchee, dude. Like, I remember Walla Walla, I remember NIC, I remember CSI, but Wenatchee? Mm-hmm. They're not worth a memory. I'm sorry.
Yeah, dude, they had this kid. He was pretty good. So I had 4 fouls. And then I was pretty injured. And he comes in driving. So he beats DJ. And then he comes to make a layup. He goes out for a floater. He goes up. I go up too. I smack the ball. Then the dude falls down. The ref that was on the other side blows the whistle. So I'm like, okay, I don't get it. What? Then the ref that was on my side, he was like, that was all clean. That was all. Even the dude said he did not touch me. But the ref that was on the other side said it was a foul. I was like, bro, that was what gave me 5 fouls. But we won that game, though. It was like almost at the end of the game. It was like 2 minutes, almost a minute left from the time. So we won that game by like 25.
By 25?
Yeah, by like 25.
They must have went downhill.
Yep, and then that was it. They came back and whooped their asses when they came to our home court.
Bro, you're showing a little flexing. You're flexing a little bit right now. Okay, wait. So wasn't that season the season COVID started?
No, that was before season. That's before COVID.
Really?
Yeah, before COVID. But
it would have been barely before COVID, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So did you play at all during COVID?
No, we didn't play because it was like this. After that season, we made it to the tournament. Like, we was going to play the NY tournament. We even went over there in Washington. I don't remember where, but it was somewhere in Washington that we went. And the first game we were playing Encore. Mm. That was the first game we were playing. And then when we had, we were practicing at the gym that we were going to use, then the Encore team came in. They were all small. Then we was like, damn, that's an easy dub right there. And we went to the hotel and everything. Then in the morning, we were supposed to play the following morning around 2 o'clock. Then around 11, coach called us to be in like one room. And then he was like, yeah, the tournament just got canceled because of COVID. That's how the tournament got canceled. But hey, we literally went from since 2010, TVCC has never been to the annual tournament till we went there. That was like 1920. Yeah, it was 1920 because last year was 2021.
You're right.
Yeah.
I played 1819. That's right. I played 1819. Then you guys went to the tournament. Yeah. Yep. I remember seeing that notification on Facebook. I was like, yeah, let's go.
I'm saying, like, let's go. We was ready for 18 because the teams that made it was Yakima. Yakima made it. NIC wasn't able to go because they were on suspension because they were like giving their players housing money and you're not supposed to do that. They got caught and then they got suspended for, I think, 2 years, I think so. So we took NIC out of the picture because that was the hardest team to beat, NIC was.
Oh, yeah, dude. Mm-hmm. Look, okay, bro. Well, at least when I was there, I thought NIC was better than CSI.
Yeah.
Right, dude, right?
Bro, I'm telling you, NIC was, if they played NIC on CSI, I'll give it to NIC. I ain't gonna lie. I'll give it to NIC. Those dudes are good. Like when they play, we played, dude. We say Kaleo had, but they had this dude. He was like 6'11", skinny dude. He had D1 offers already. He was about to go pro. That boy was good.
Bro.
He snatched Kaleo's layup off the backboard. I was like, so Kaleo goes up. We thought Kaleo was going to dunk, but no, he goes up to make the layup. That dude comes, he jumps and grabs the ball. He smashed it. He did not block the ball. He
grabbed it ball. With one hand?
My Lord. Yeah, he smashed that ball. I was like, oh, God.
That's such disrespect. Like, that's so disrespectful.
Bro, I asked him, I was like, dude, why don't you just dunk that? He's like, I thought I had the layup. He did not even see it coming. He always saw the dude grab the ball. I came down with it. I was like, oh,
my goodness.
Yeah, that game, we got whooped. No cap. But even though we got beat, it did not count. Because NIC was not in the league no more. So they were like on suspension. They could play, but they would just, they went with a record of, I don't know, they only lost one game.
Yeah.
Against Spokane.
I remember my buddy was on the, he was on the team for a bit. He was on their practice squad for a bit, and he was telling me all about these kids on NIC, and I was just like, sheesh.
I'm telling you, dude, those dudes were scary. They were long. Like, three of them, they had these three long dudes. You know how they have the – they will stand from one end of they spread their wingspan. I don't know how long their wingspan was, but three of them could cover the whole back area, like three of them. I'm like, how are we going to get through those three?
You don't. You shoot a three.
Right? It was hard, dude. But, and they was like, they can shoot. They could dribble. They could do everything. Like, literally anything. I'm like, yeah. There's no way we're beating this team. But when we went to the tournament, the only team we were concerned about was Spokane. Because Spokane was the team that beat us twice. And then we beat Yakima. They beat us by one. Their players, because Devon missed a layup that was supposed to send us to overtime. So, no, they beat us by two. That was supposed to send us to overtime. He missed it. But when they came to our house, we whooped them. We beat them by like 20.
Sheesh.
And then
where was the tournament at?
In Washington, I don't remember.
You don't remember where?
But it was, the school was kind of like, it was just like hidden somewhere. So I was like, well, But it was, we went there, the thing got canceled, and then we came back. Coach was actually, that day, I ain't gonna lie, we ate good. When we were coming back, he fed us pretty good.
Yeah, dude. He's like, y'all did all right. Y'all did all right.
He's like, yeah, you guys did great. Because he got so emotional. The day he told us, saying we made the cut, we were number three. Because we were number four, including NIC. But when they took our NIC, we were number three. So coach came into practice one time. He was like, baseline. We stood on the baseline after we got done stretching and everything. So me, my head was like, damn, we're about to start running. He's like, I got some news for you guys. We made it to the tournament. Then he got so emotional. He was like, my first time coaching you guys, and you guys did so good this year, and we actually went to the tournament. He was so excited, and he got emotional. And then he cut practice. He's like, I'm going to let you guys have today off. I was like, oh, yeah. We even left. That it was funny, dude. Like, it was fun playing. And then they canceled the whole thing. I was like, damn. This is it. We're not going to win no championship, dude. Then last year when we played, it was just like we played like 12 games, I think. We just played each team twice. So it was just like for fun anyways. There was no championship, no nothing. But it was like an intense competition, you know. We played teams. I was the only big on the team. So after the 6'8 dude left, it was just me. So they recruited another dude from New York. He was from New York. He came over here. He was on the team too, but the dude was hard-headed. They wanted him to play center, but he didn't know want to play the five. He just wanted to play. He wanted to shoot and stuff like that. So coach told him, was like, I'm not going to play you if you keep running out of the perimeter and you're shooting off-balance shots and you're not making them, and then you end up just turning the ball over. And then he ended up quitting. He left. So it was just down to me. I was the only big, so I had to put up numbers. I was like...
And I bet you did, bro.
It was hard, dude. I had to make sure I was in shape to keep up with everybody. First game we played Blue Mountain. I had to put up numbers. That was like the first game was the best game for me. I went home with 26 points. I had 14 rebounds. I had 4 blocks. I had 3 assists, and I had 1 steal.
That's a pretty. I mean, just that's okay. About average, you know.
Right. I'm like, damn. That was like the best game ever. And then we started down the road because I was out here just doing too much. Then I had jumper's knee. My knees started hurting. Not one, but both. So it was just like every single time we play sometimes. So I went from playing 38 minutes. He cut me down to 25. Then he just started like every game, every five, he took me out the first 5 minutes of the game. He's like, rest your knees. I was like, well, I'm going to do what I could. But I was still trying to put up numbers on the board. And I did most of the time. We won games and stuff like that. Most of the games we won, I was putting up numbers every game. And then one time we had a back-to-back game. So we played Friday and Saturday. So we played Friday, we played Wenatchee. And then Saturday we played Big Ben. And Wenatchee had 4 bigs.
Wow.
So they had a dude that was 6'11", they had a dude that was 6'9", and there was two dudes, there was another dude that was 6'8", and there's another dude that was 6'7".
But jeez, they're huge.
Hell yeah. I'm like, bro. So they would just run me up and down. I got this one. On the other side, it's a mismatch because they had two bigs, sometimes 3 bigs in at the same time. And I have to switch out every single time. I got this one. There's a mismatch over here. I have to help out. Every time I help out, they dump it to this one, dunk. Every single time, dunk. I'm like, it was so hard. They even say this. I was like, dude, you're doing too much. I was like, I'm the only one. I don't know. They're like, yeah, you're doing too much, dude. So we lost that game. Then that night, I was so much in pain because my knees was just hurting so bad. I iced them on everything, still the pain wouldn't go away. when we played Big Ben, I played 5 minutes and I was out. I was like, coach, I can't run. I cannot do it. I just went on the side. I laid down the whole time until the game was over.
So is that what happened to your knees?
No, that was on a different occasion.
So what happened to your, why are you injured? Like, what happened then?
So after I healed from the jumper's knee, and during the summer, I was working a lot, so I barely worked out because the CSI gym would close at 7, and I got off work at 7. So I did not have time to go over it. But I tried working out in my room and doing stuff because I got a few weights. But working out in your room is different from the gym. And so when they started there was like 2 weeks left for school to start, the CSI opened. So they started school. And then they went back to regular hours. So it was 10 p.m. So that's when I had time to go over there and do my stuff. I would get off work and go over there without like putting the mind saying my body's tired from work, I should rest it. I just went straight to the gym. I worked out, then I do some drills or put up shots and stuff like that. Then came home, took a shower, ate some food and passed out. Then I had to get up again at 6 a.m. because I started work at 7 a.m. I get off at 7 p.m. then go to the gym. So one time I got off work at 7. I went to the gym. When I got there, they were already playing. So the game just ended and there was 4 people sitting on the side. Then they saw me, they were like, oh, you're going to be on 5. So I was like, all right, say less. So I went there. I just put on my shoes. I did not stretch. I did not do anything.
Uh-oh.
And I jumped in the game. Then we started playing, running up and down, running up and down. So I was going up to, I was actually going to dunk the ball, but there was a dude, there was like 2 people in front of me. So I got past the first one. Then when I went up, the other dude smacked my hand so hard, so I twitched. And then they said, according to what the people said, I jumped so high that my head was close to the rim, like over right there. And then when I came down straight leg.
Oh.
Yeah, so my knee just locked. So I did not hear no popping or anything. It just hurt. So I stretched it out a little bit, but running on it was kind of hard. So I was like, yeah, I'm done. So I went upstairs, I rode the bike and stretched more. Then I grabbed my staff and went home. The following day, I even went to work. Then my knee swelled up. And then when I went, the funny part was like when I went to the emergency care, the doctor that saw me, he was like, he grabbed my leg and tried to move it. He's like, your legs are too big for me to move. So I'm going to just give you a brace and then let's see what that's going to do.
Like, he just threw you a brace and got
yep. Oh, that's good. And he gave me a couple stretches and told me to ice it up and stuff like this. So I did that. I started icing it and then doing the stretches and I felt pretty good. I felt pretty normal. So I went back to school. The coach was like, we'll let you sit out for a little bit. I was like, all right. So I was out because I seen Steve. Steve was like, well, it looks like it's a hyperextension. So you just need some time off and then stretch worse. I was like, okay. So I started stretching. So then he came back. He went back to normal. I went to Steve. Steve seen it. He was like, yeah, I think you can play. And we just keep it to a minimum. I was like, all right. So I forgot to put on my brace. I went in just like that. Pat, I grabbed the ball. Possible 1-2. I spinned. Oh, my Lord. Then he popped. I had to pop. I went down. I got up. Then Steve was like, don't play on it no more. I was like, all right. It swelled up again. So I started icing it up, stretching on it and everything. And then the swelling went down. I got back my full range of motion and everything. It was feeling pretty good. So now this time playing, I wore a brace. And then, but the braces they gave me, they were just like so weak. So I started playing in it and everything and stuff like that. And then I was doing pretty good. Then they're like, oh, you look good. Coach was like, oh, you're moving pretty good and everything. So we had a scrimmage. In that scrimmage, that's when I got hurt. So I got the ball, fast break. I took the ball, I ran. There was a dude in front of me, but the dude the dude was like 6'8". He's slow. So I crossed over to the right and I went left. Then when I crossed, I put pressure on my right knee. And then when I shifted the side, my knee just popped and he shifted to the side.
Down that's you when go.
I went down. And that hurt so much. Then I was like, yeah, I think I did something. And that same day,
the third pop? Come on.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, I think I did something. So I went, I iced it up, and it did not swell up. That was a good thing. There was no swelling over there. And it just hurt for a little bit, then the pain went away. So I put some ice on it and everything. Then the following day, I had an MRI appointment. So I went to the MRI appointment. They took the MRI and everything. So I was waiting for the result. I was feeling pretty fine because I was able to move. I was playing on it and everything. Then the result came in. They're like, yeah, you completely tore your ACL and you punctured your meniscus. I was like,
I'm sorry, bro. I don't mean to laugh. No, it's just funny. Bro, you go through this like three times and then you finally go to the ER. They're like, yeah, you completely tore it.
I'm like, damn. I was like, so then the physical therapist has seen me. He was like, the first time it was a hyperextension. If you had waited and took the time off to heal, you would have been fine. Then the second time you popped, it tore for a little bit. The third time you popped, I think that's when you lost your ACL completely. And then you kept on going and stuff like that. That's why, because they said I was missing a piston ligament on my bone. So that's the reason I was told to stay off my foot for 6 weeks. It was because they had to do a meniscal repair because I was missing a piston ligament from my meniscus. And they were like, yeah. So that's when they set me up with surgery and the doctors. So the doctor I seen, he was like, it's up to you. Because if you feel like you're good, I can give you a brace and you can still play on it and then do physical therapy. That will help you, but it will only go for like in 2-3 years from now, you will have so much pain on your knee and your knee is going to just give up. Then you're going to have to get knee replacement and then that will be done for you. No more sports. I was like, damn, tough decision to make. And then because when I had to do all of that, season had already started. The first tournament they went to, they got blown. The first game they played, they lost by like 2. The second game they played, they won the second game. No, they lost the second game by like 59 points. They lost by 59. It said 60, dude. That was bad. Like, literally, that was bad. So I was watching in my room. I was so pissed. I started punching the walls. Like, you know? It's like it's the little things that they were not doing. They got beat every single time by the middle. Nobody was getting rebounds. Nobody was boxing out because every time a shot goes up, everybody's trying to look for the ball or people are already starting to run to go to the other side so they could get a fast break dunk or whatever they wanted to do. Nobody was playing defense. So they got blown by 60. And the most rebounds they can get, each person is like 7. I'm like, bro. And last year, it was like, we got, as a team, we got like 30-something, 40 rebounds a game. And half of those were mine, you know. So I was like, at least when coach was like, I'm going to bring you help. So he got this dude from Alaska. He was like, he's 6'4", but he's hella bouncy. So I was like, at least now we can be like in the 50s range as a team. That means he's getting half, I'm getting half, he's getting at least a little bit. So I had like 4 people. So there's me, there's this dude that's 6'8", and then there's another dude, 2 guys that are 6'5", and then there's a dude that's 6'4". So that's like 5 of us, you know? So
a little I was
like,
bigger.
Yeah, that's hell. Bro, literally nothing. The most people, and the persons that are getting those rebounds is the guards. Like a guard is getting more rebounds than the bigs. I was so mad. I'm like, this is terrible. Like, this is bad. They got blown by 59. I was like, yeah, this is just run it off to 50 to 60.
Who are they playing?
Amqua.
Did you? Oh, yeah. Man, Amqua. Sheesh, bro. Has it been hard for you to like during this injury and stuff, during the surgery and stuff? Has it been hard?
Yep, it's been hard, dude. Like you know how much you can contribute to something, but you cannot do it just because of a certain thing that is limiting you to do it. You know, it's like
Right.
every time I go to practice, I know I can help people out, but I'm just sitting on one side, just watching, you know. So sometimes I would just like get a couple of tears drop out of my eyes and stuff like that, you know. It just like you get too emotional. And then when there's games and there's games going, you see, just like you look at the people that are playing, and you know you can contribute so much to the team when it comes to like defensive wise, offensive. You can get rebounds, you can get blocks, you can do a lot of things, but you cannot be able to do that just because little thing of one mistake you made of not stretching just
Yeah.
landed you in a big ass injury. So it's been hard, dude. I ain't gonna lie, it's been hard. That's the reason I just locked myself up in my room and just like want to keep myself comfortable, you know?
No, bro. Come on. I know. Hold on. I know you're doing more than locking yourself up in your room. I know you are. Like, I mean, there's got to be some sort of mental preparation. I mean, like, you're gonna be back on your feet here in a couple weeks, right?
Yeah, it's like how many days?
Today's the 15th, so
Yeah.
10 days.
Yeah, 10 days. Yep, 10 days. And I've been, you know, so my family is Christian.
Okay.
I grew up in a Christian home. And then before, when it all happened, I started, you know, you started asking, I was like, damn, what the hell is God at? You know, like how you let something like this happen to me after something like that. And then one time I was just like going through my Instagram page, and I came by because this Christian page I follow on Instagram, I came up these words of like, you know, everything that happens for a reason. God set it in motion for us, for a reason. There's a reason you are in that situation you're in right now. So that hit me for a little bit. I sat down, I was like, you know, and I was like, yeah, you know, I grew up Christian home, and I should know that every God has plans for everything. God knew me way before I was even born. He knew this was gonna happen, this day was gonna happen, and I was gonna hurt myself. And me beating myself up like this is not gonna help out in anything.
Nah.
So I just started thinking positive, you know. I just started thinking positive way before I even had my surgery. I started thinking positive, and then I even called my mom and dad, and they were like, yeah. Mom was not even worried about it. She was like, I know you're gonna go through it. It'll be fine. Dad was the one that was a bit worried about it. He just started thinking, overthinking it, and then his blood pressure hit the roof and stuff like that. But after a while, he was just like praying about it. And then I went into surgery, and it was good. I came out pretty good, and everything was fine. And my first doctor's visit after 14 days, they tested my ACA, and the doctor was like, well, looking good, you just gotta get the swelling away. And then because the thing was like my leg was so swelled up in like when the first 2 days I was out, then the third day, because I was still in Ontario when I all this happened, when I
Yeah.
came back home the third day, and then after I took a shower, my mom, she massaged my leg. Like 2 days in a row, the swelling was all gone. Like it was gone completely. Then, cause what I was like, how did that happen? When I remember, when I was looking after Kieran, his leg was still swollen for a week, maybe and a half, but mine,
I remember he goofed his leg up pretty bad too.
yep, I was like, the pain just gone away, and like the swelling just went away in like 2 days, and my leg was just like not swollen no more. It was fine. My toes were moving, I was moving my ankle, my leg, and stuff like that. The only part was a little bit swelled up was the actual knee where the surgery was. I was like, oh. Then after that, I just started praying to God. I was like, you know, most of the time we tend to blame the things on God when we have good things happening in our lives. we don't think about God. We're like, oh, it's just happened. But when a bad thing happens to somebody, they blame they put the blame on God, thinking, oh, God, why did you let this thing happen to me? This and that. You said you were going to be there for me, but look, this happened. No, we should learn to thank God in every situation, whether good or bad. So I thank God that I was hurt. I know he had plans. He has plans for me. And I've learned to accept that. That's what's helping me heal faster too. It's like I accepted it. I got hurt. Yeah. There's a reason that I got hurt for. And then I know it sucked because all the offers I had, they fell off after they heard that I got surgery. Mm-hmm. But I know God has a better plan for me. That's what I've been, that's been keeping me going every single time and helping me prepare my mind once I start walking. Because I tell myself, once I start walking, it's going to be easier. When I can walk, I can do a lot. For right now, I cannot do a lot of things because I was going to start going to the gym, like just shoot on the chair, just sit down and shoot. But my siblings are usually busy most of the time and they can't take me. So I'm like,
you can't drive.
Yeah, I cannot drive. I'm like, you know, I'm going to just wait it out and just prepare myself mentally to get back out there. Just gonna think positive. Positivity goes a long way in somebody's life, and that's what I've been doing, just staying positive, thanking God each and every day that I'm just like, I didn't lose my leg, you know. It would have been worse.
Yeah,
but thank God it's healed now. It's like, yeah, I'll show you. You cannot really tell where the surgery was. It's like, unless I show you, saying this is where it was and stuff like that. Let me flip the camera. So, see, this is like, it's like when you look at it, you cannot really tell, saying this is where it comes from. Yeah. Because it's real, because there was stitches right here, and there was some right here, and there was some right here, and this was the biggest one. There was some right there.
Yeah, that doesn't look like, yeah, it doesn't look that bad.
Yeah, and it's only been not even, it's been just like a, what's the date? The 15th. Yesterday was exactly 1 month since I got my surgery.
It's looking pretty good, dude. It's looking pretty good.
I know, right? I'm like, so if I was out here just pouting every single day, I was thinking about it the other day. I was like, so if I was just sitting in my room pouting every single day, I don't think I would have healed this quick.
Probably not. Honestly, probably not. But dude, that's crazy, man. I didn't know how you got hurt. I kind of wanted to ask you about it, but bro, that's kind of cool. I kind of forgot you're a Christian, but I guess like that perspective puts a lot of things in a different light, I guess. You know what I mean? Because like, I mean, like I told you before we started recording, like I shattered my kneecap a week after I got married, and I was still trying to play ball. I was still, you know, I was going to go to a different school other than Ontario, but I was still trying to hoop. I shattered that kneecap, dude. I was bedridden for like 2.5 months.
Damn.
That's all. I watched so much TV. It was.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And like, that TV like,
is boring too.
I know. Like after a couple of days, bro, I'm just like, man, it's the same thing. They just have a different title for it. But
yep.
But no, like I was just really relating to you there for a sec. Cause it's just like, you get in that like hole or that pit or ditch or whatever you want to call it. And it's just like, this sucks.
Yep.
This sucks so bad. But honestly, like kudos to you, bro, for kind of seeing the bigger picture a lot quicker than most people probably can. That's cool. Yeah. So, okay. What are your plans? Are you going to go back to Treasure Valley next year?
No. This year, I'm just because I took all the classes I could. They kept me for there for long. It's like I was supposed to graduate last year. So coach was like, just stay longer because I took all my credits, like all of them. I'm done with it. So I'm going to graduate this year in June, and I cannot take no more classes because I don't have any more classes to take.
So you got to go somewhere else.
So coach was like, oh, if we figure out classes to take for you to take again and stuff like that. I was like, you know, I could take classes at a four-year, like Eastern Oregon, because they were interested in me. But once they found out I had surgery, the interest kind of faded away and stuff like that. But I know I have, like, there's a bit of, there's, like, I'm going to get But once I, just right now, I'm just like, well, all I have to do is graduate. That's what I'm looking forward to. Yeah, it's just like, take a day at a time. First of all, right now, I'm working on getting better and staying ahead of my classes. Once I start walking, the rest of it will solve itself. It's like, it will just come in place. And you start walking. It's like a kid. They start walking. They start discovering things and stuff like that, right? So once I start walking, things will just start. My leg will start healing quicker. And then I'll be shooting hoops. I'll want physical therapy. I'll be going to therapy every single time. That will help out too. And then in due time, you'll be like, oh, you're ready to go.
And then I'll dunk on you.
Yeah, you'll dunk on me again, you know? It's stuff like that. So it's just like, so I don't know. Next year, I don't know. I'm not thinking ahead. I'm not thinking about next year. I'm focused on the moment right now. It's just like what is happening right now. Because you never know what tomorrow brings. So you do not worry about tomorrow. Because you do not know what tomorrow brings. Tomorrow is not ours. It's not promised. So we just got to live in the moment. Do what is... live in the present. Do not think about tomorrow. Oh, tomorrow I'm going to do this. I'm going to do... What happens if you don't wake up tomorrow?
Yeah.
You know? There's a lot of things that can happen.
Well, like the classic... like we all know the sun will rise tomorrow. Uh-huh.
Yep.
But like, what if it didn't?
Uh-huh.
You know, I was listening to this. I think it was a book. I don't know. I like to listen to stuff, just random stuff. But I was listening to this thing, and it was like, what if the sun didn't rise tomorrow? What would you do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, well, you, for one, you can't worry about that because, like, the odds of that happening are, like, not possible.
No. Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, you're absolutely right, bro. Just focus on what you can control today, right? Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right now,
you control the moment. You cannot worry about something you cannot control. We don't control tomorrow. Nobody knows if they're gonna make it to tomorrow. Nobody knows. So we deal with what we have right now and what is going on at the moment. Then when tomorrow comes, let it worry about itself.
I think you should write a book.
I hate writing.
Yep. You know what? You just talk, and then I'll write it for you. How about that?
All right, bet. That sounds like fun.
Okay, look, I gotta get running.
Okay.
I have one question for you.
Yeah.
Obviously, you like basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about if you were to give yourself advice when you were like 5 years ago. If you're gonna give yourself advice from 5 years ago, what would you tell them?
Well, if I would see, so 5 years ago, I was in America. And I would tell my 5 years ago, I would tell myself, just keep working harder. Like, hard work pays off. Just keep working hard and don't give up. Because at some point, when I first came to TVCC, I almost gave up. Like, I almost had a point, then I almost left because I was like, oh, I'm done with all of this. But after staying there for a while and then looking, right now when I look back, I'm like, damn. So if I gave up that day, none of this would have happened. Like, I wouldn't have known the people I know right now. And then the people that know me today, they wouldn't have known me. And I wouldn't be this good if I quit that day. So I would tell my five years before, I would be like, bro, just keep going hard, work hard, and always put God first in everything you do. Respect people, respect those people that respect you, be nice to people. Care about others and just like put God first, and then everything else will fall in place.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna help you write a book. that's good stuff, bro. That's good stuff.
Appreciate it.
Well, yeah, thanks for jumping on, buddy.
No problem.
We got to get together.
Yeah. We will soon. Before I head back to Ontario, I'll holler at you. And then when I go to Pocatello, I'll swing by.
Do it. Do it. Yep. Just let me know. Right. Yeah, buddy, just reach out. Leave.
All right.
Pause.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode. Please leave a 5-star review and a comment on what you like and what you want to hear more of. I am starting a YouTube, so look up Gymrat J on YouTube and on TikTok as well. I'm just not as familiar with TikTok, but yeah, look it up on TikTok as well and subscribe to get video content. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. The next episode I'm really excited for, but I'll keep it a surprise. Anyway, thank you so much for listening.